Yo, this is Michael Dean with a pregame show update, Sunday, August 10th, 2014. If you subscribe to the Freedom Fiends via our subscribe by email link, or if you subscribe to any of my sites with that, I'm going to remove that after this show today updates, because that is part of the thing that was causing the heavy usage hammering of my site of crawlers and spiders and problems and things like that. It was a couple plugins, and that was one of them. The other one is the one that generates the archive page, which will no longer be there. So if you subscribed via email to any of my sites, this is going to be the last update you get via email. You're going to have to go subscribe via RSS or TuneIn or Stitcher or Torrent Link or some other way of getting it. Good luck, and thank you for your service. Worms.
Live on the air. It wasn't the CIA. It was the KKK.
I've not been contacted by the government.
I've worms. Not been.
Worms. Rap rock, Fred Durst, yo. And then their fans climbed up on stage and murdered them. This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends doing some bohemian, psychedelic pre-gaming here live on the air. And I am Michael Dean, broadcasting live and worldwide from a windowless bunker at an undisclosed location in the rural wild mountain west in the occupied states of America. And I am, what's my radio wrestling name? I can't remember.
Iron Hamster. You need me to remember your name. It's hilarious.
I have a lot on my plate today. Yeah, but it's not the first time it's happened. I'm the Iron Hamster, and we have Davi Barker, the Shiny Badger. Hello, check in, sir. Check in, please.
I'm here, and if you're just tuning in, you just missed the best hour of radio never broadcast.
Yeah, our pre-games are better than our shows. No, they're as good as our shows. And we have the bearded possum, Mr. Ben Stone, the Bad Quaker. Please check in, sir.
Hey, gentlemen, it's good to be on the radio with you guys again.
Yep. I've had a couple days. Besides something called Cyvalence, Cyvillance.
Can we just call them CIA?
It's right there in the name. It's a... One of their IP addresses kept hammering the Fiend site, which is not why the Fiend site is down. It's just something I discovered during
that we know of.
Yeah, the Fiend site's been down for about 24 hours. It's going to be up in the next 2 to 24 hours, HostGator willing. I'm no longer recommending HostGator. I'm not going to bash them. I'm just pulling my ads. I was doing affiliate ads for them and occasionally recommending people. And their customer service can leave something to be not happy about. I've contacted them 6 times in the past 24 hours, and twice I got the same guy. Omar was great. Omar, if you're listening, thank you for your service. He was good. Nobody else was able to help me. Nobody else even seemed to try. And the interesting thing about it is that I got the same guy, Omar, twice in 6 calls. For a company that deals with millions of websites, it's making me think they only have like 4 tech support guys. What are the odds that I would get the same guy twice in a row? I don't know. But thank you, Omar. Hope it gets worked out. But yeah, there's this IP address that keeps coming up hitting the Fiend site. Something called Cyvalence, which was founded in 1997, based in Reston, Virginia. CIA company town. CIA company town. I've actually spent the night in Reston, Virginia. It's kind of weird. It looks like a college campus.
Was it against your will?
No, it wasn't. It was. Well, that's a whole nother story. I was a drunk and I was living in D.C. with this gal, and I was just kept saying, "You can't. I'm the luckiest boy in the world." And she kicked me out. She like grabbed my messenger bag, threw all my worldly possessions in it, and said, "Okay, you're the luckiest guy in the world. Get out of my house." And she opened the door. And when she opened the door, there was a guy standing there, and he said, "I'm Bill. I'm looking for Michael." I'm like, "Hey, Bill, I'm Michael." And he goes, "I'm a friend of little Mike's. He told me I should come meet you." And I said, "Cool. Can I come stay at your house tonight?" And he said, "Sure." So I was like, luckiest boy in the world, man. And he lived in Reston, Virginia, because it is a bedroom community for the CIA. Like, almost everyone who lives there works for the government. But this company, the United States Secret Service contracts Cyvalence to search available information related to the Secret Service and its missions. Information obtained through Cyvalence is incorporated into the Protective Research Information Management System, which you may also know by the acronym PRISM, the surveillance program that was outed by Edward Snowden. Yeah, it just goes on. It's like, why are these people repeatedly checking out my website? I want to know. But
because it's such a good show.
It's such a good show.
This is what they listen to on their breaks.
Yeah, and the site will be up again eventually. And thank you for all your concerned emails. And we'll put a contingency plan in place in the future. So, Ben Stone, you performed a wedding this weekend, didn't you?
I did. We're way out in the remote areas of Missouri. We're miles and miles from the closest town, and we had a massive redneck wedding.
And you're with a Quaker me. Priest, right? Or imam? Quaker imam?
I am a minister. I'm okay. An ordained minister.
I don't know the terms. Yeah.
So I actually did the ceremony. And the people being married were not Quaker, so but there's nothing in
they
Quaker beliefs.
They are now.
But they are now. I forced them at gunpoint because I'm the bad Quaker. Okay. No.
You kidnap young lovers and force them to stop living in sin.
It was the fine print in their marriage contract. They didn't know it.
But yeah, we had a blast. There was a live band. There was a DJ before the band showed up. The DJ had his whole setup.
Was the band a Bachman Turner Overdrive cover band?
Pretty much. I mean, that was, yeah.
Did they play Taking Care of Business? I'm just guessing.
They didn't. They hit just about every other of that era.
Did they play Whippin' Post by the Allman Brothers?
They actually did, yeah.
Did they
yeah.
really? Did they play yeah, Brain they Salad it. Surgery by Emerson, Lake, and Palmer? Probably not.
No, they didn't go that direction.
I know your Amazon, because I use my Amazon affiliate link, and I see what you order. I know what you listen to.
Yeah, you must know all the zombie stuff I've been buying recently.
See, I don't really know. I can see everything everyone orders through the Freedom Fiends Amazon affiliate link. I can't see who's ordering them, but Ben happened to say, hey, did you see I ordered some records and camping supplies the other day? And I was like, oh, yeah, Bachman Turner Overdrive.
Allman Brothers.
Allman Brothers and Brain Salad Surgery by Emerson, Lake, and Palmer.
So was this a state wedding or a real wedding?
It was a real wedding.
It was a real wedding.
We did have paperwork to give to the thugs, but okay. it was an actual wedding, and I was I did the ceremony and did the whole thing.
And, cool, so and you're ordained, so you can sign the paperwork. That's cool.
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah. And I am too. Actually,
I even got to put in some because there are actual anarchists present, and there are a lot of radical constitutionalists among you. Get among a bunch of rednecks, and you will almost always find people who hate the government. And still at the same time, like the Constitution. So there was a lot of those here. And then I even got to put some voluntarist stuff into the actual ceremony.
Wow. Cool. That's cool. Tell me about it.
Charlie
Rose would say, expand on that.
Yeah. So we had everything set up. It was themed for Day of the Dead. Are you familiar with the Day of the Dead theme?
Am I Zombies? Familiar with Day of the Dead?
Is the Pope senile?
The last wedding I did was zombie themed. So I'm thinking that if you're having a themed wedding along that same lines, you need to get a good Quaker. That
so you have a niche.
Yeah, I got a control of the market. You're dominating
the
market.
You're dominating the market of Quaker zombie themed redneck weddings.
Yeah.
How many
so
people
do they
perform?
Do they take their vows with their foot in the grave? Because that'd be kind of funny.
No, but we all had, there was skulls and skeletons and all that kind of all the Day of the Dead type stuff everywhere.
Cool.
Awesomeness. So
yeah,
what else happened? Who won?
The rednecks won, definitely. So excellent. We were on this huge ranch. They call it a farm, but I don't. There's nothing that's legally being farmed here. So to me, it's a ranch. It's just acres
Wait, is
and
there
acres. And
illegally being farmed there? Is that what you're saying on radio?
I'm not confirming or denying that rumor, but it's just acres and acres and acres of some of it is forested, some of it they mow, and it attracts deer. It's almost impossible to be here very long and not see a deer. And you know, a lot of stuff. Big river that goes right along the edge of it. It's a beautiful location.
A river runs through it.
It literally does, and there's and they fit. It's there's lots of fish in that river too. It's really nice. When we had a hoot, we had a live band that was up here like almost all night. A huge metal barn that's big enough to have, you know, several hundred people in here in the middle of it, and an RV parked inside and an RV parked outside. Wow! So we were
in it. Cool.
Wow.
The only wedding I ever performed was a pagan wedding. And it was
marry four women and three men in a tree?
No, but I did marry four children to a couple. It was a couple. And they were getting married and they both had children from previous marriages.
So it was like you combined the adoption into the marriage.
Right, essentially. That's cool. So they had four kids, and pagans are really into their elements, right? So earth, fire, wind, and water.
Oh, wait, these are the kids' names?
No. But I designed a marriage ceremony that incorporated each of the kids performing one of the coordinates or the elements role in the ceremony, if that makes sense. Although it was called a hand fasting. So it was like you tie their wrists with these like leather straps. And they like say their piece to each other. It was very nice, but pagan weddings only last for a year. So
really, you have to renew them.
They renew them, yeah, once a year. That's how they celebrate their anniversary.
How do they get divorced? Do they go in the street and say thrice I divorce thee?
Well, I think it's just, you know, every anniversary they do the straps again, and they're supposed to spend some period of time sort of talking over the last year, and then before the straps come off, they decide whether or not to commit to another year or to just break it off.
Before the straps come off.
It's called a hand fasting. It's actually a pretty ancient ceremony.
Yeah.
Ironically, a result of Christian occupation. So... historically speaking, there was a thing in the Middle Ages in Britain where the British soldiers claimed the right to the first night, which meant that if a Scot or an Irish or a pagan of any kind got married, the bed belonged to a British soldier, and it was a policy to breed them out.
Wow! So if you got married and you were a pagan, a British soldier could sleep with your bride?
Yes, exactly. Hey, you saw this in Braveheart. This happened in Braveheart.
Governments are horrible, man. That's all I got to say. All governments.
And so they just said, "Fine, we're gonna not do your state wedding. We're not gonna officially say anything, and we're gonna do this 1 year commitment called a hand fasting." And they just invented a new ceremony to avoid the law, and that's where it comes from.
Let me add a caveat to that, because it's not really fair to all English people to unless we make this distinction. It was actually the Normans after they came in that inflicted that. So,
oh, okay.
It wasn't a Saxon thing.
All the English people. Yeah,
this right. Whole discussion makes me want to go listen to really loud a bunch of Norwegian black metal. Yeah, the Vikings got a raw deal, man.
Yeah, history doesn't remember them very well.
Yeah, the raping and pillaging is vastly overrated, and a lot of what they did was self-defense. Not saying rape was self-defense, but, you know, they're... go ahead, Ben. Or you want to talk when we get back about the Vikings?
Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah, when we get back.
We could do that after this trip to the market.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
The Michigan Peace and Liberty Coalition is proud to announce the second annual Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest. It's at the Circle Pine Center just outside Kalamazoo, Friday, August 22nd through Monday, August 25th. There will be family and grown-up friendly activities, great conversation, presentations, and bacon. Lots of bacon. It doesn't matter if you're an OG libertarian, a newbie, or just anarcho-curious. Come on out and enjoy some voluntarism. For more information, go to miplc.org.
What sets Survival Punk apart from all those other survivalist sites? A rational, creative approach to self-reliance. Applying a punk DIY ethic to survivalism without any of the fear-mongering or tinfoil hattery that pervades the survivalist movement. Survival Punk covers a huge range of topics, along with a healthy bit of myth-busting. Survival Punk provides a ton of dirt-cheap creative solutions to common prepping problems, with an accent on the paleo lifestyle. Check out survivalpunk.com. That's survivalpunk.com.
Freedom Fiends. All things considered on the Freedom Fiends. No, this is not NPR's All Things Considered. This is not that. But we are going to...
Freedom Fiends. All things inconsiderate.
Inconsiderate. There you go. Yeah. So, Ben, tell us about the...
Uncle Ben, tell us about the Vikings.
Yeah, they really got a bad publicity. Everybody, even I tried to watch the History Channel thing on them, the series. I had such high hopes, but that always is the case with History Channel. I get these really high hopes that they have this new product coming out, and then I watch it, and I'm like, oh man, come on! But yeah, the main.
Did you ever see that thing on History Channel? There was like, CSI type technicians talking about who would win, and it was battles like Vikings versus Spetsnaz, KKK versus they would just have like two famous kind of warriors or brutal people and pit them together and then use laptops to decide who would have won it, and they have animations. Do you remember that one?
I remember when they did that, but I didn't watch it because the premise just seemed ridiculous.
It's kind of like Alien versus Predator, but with whole classes of people. Yeah, so go ahead.
But yeah, the Vikings' main thrust was in commerce and settling. They had overpopulated Norway and some of the Scandinavian areas, and they just wanted land. They just wanted a place to be able to go to, and most of the land that they went and occupied literally was barren land. They went to places where they preferred places where there was no fight, where they could just go there. Most of the Viking ships, they carried cattle with them. They carried their horses.
They just wanted to be left alone. They're kind of like us.
They were no different than the pioneers going out west in America. They were just looking for a place to settle. Imagine had the Indians won in the 1800s in the west and the pioneers been kicked out or absorbed by the Indian culture. Imagine what the stories a couple hundred years later that the Indians would be telling about the pioneers.
That they their children.
Yeah, they had all kinds of myths that the Vikings are blamed with. But mostly their main thrust was in commerce and in settling and, migrating and trying to get into a new land where they weren't oppressed by the king of Norway, because that guy was a jerk. And they were very independent people, and they wanted to be free, and they wanted to move out,
Yeah.
So, and yeah, there are cases where they would stumble upon Christian monasteries that had, gold or silver relics of this or that or whatever. And they didn't see any value in that because other than money, because they weren't Christians. So so having the Vikings killing the Christians to take their gold is not really a lot different than any other culture in history where there were opposite religious beliefs and one of them was rich.
It's vastly overstated that the Vikings were marauding across the land and that was their main goal. It's a classic case of blood libel, which is the conquerors changing the history to make the defeated seem more horrible. A really common one is in Africa is saying that Idi Amin was a cannibal. Like, he killed a lot of people, but he probably wasn't a cannibal. That's right. The kind of stories that people tell.
They're also victims of horrible propaganda. For example, they didn't wear horns on their helmets.
Yeah,
they like that is completely like a Christian depiction of them as demons that has no basis in fact. They used their horns for sounding a horn and for drinking their mead. And the idea that they had horns, like demon horns, was just a way to demonize them. And so to me, it sort of strikes
literally demonize them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Funny how that word works. I kind of see this trend throughout all of history. Whenever there is a freedom-oriented society, it is propagandized against and portrayed as bomb throwers by the dominant statist society. What it appeared to me that was happening to Vikings.
And the conquering, the winners who write the history always make themselves sound blessed and wonderful instead of, that they actually eat their children. I mean, don't get Ben Stone started on the Pilgrims.
Yeah. And then go back, they are also the one of the original zombie myths comes from Viking folklore. They had this idea that a person who committed suicide would become what was called a Gen Janger or Gen Ganger or something like that, which was like this undead army that would like rise from their graves and come out and spread disease to the living. and so they had to be like dispatched in a particular way, or I don't remember exactly, but they're considered one of the foundational zombie myths.
Didn't Vikings actually have a stateless, relatively peaceful society, Ben?
They did, absolutely.
And the states that conquered them, yeah, changed the myth. And all their descendants, you know, they killed off the ones with any fight in them, and the ones that are left are now all Scandinavian socialists going, yes, we like 80% taxes or 90% taxes.
I blame Santa Claus.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
When I found the Free State Project, I knew it was the key to achieving liberty in my lifetime. It's awesome to be surrounded by like-minded, freedom-loving activists who've moved here to New Hampshire. From politics to civil disobedience, we have it all. Where I came from, it felt that no matter what I did, liberty was dying. Perhaps you feel the same way? Call 888-377-2515 now to learn more about the Free State Project. That's 888-377-2515 or visit freestateproject.org.
The Central Scrutinizer is a Soviet-style Leviathan trying to keep track of all you do. That's why I use a VPN, or virtual private network, from Bola VPN. Bola VPN is inexpensive, secure, and will allow you to use your computer without leaving a trail. Bola VPN is now also offering torrent seed boxes for safely sharing media with the world. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them from the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.
Yeah. How's your brain, Ian Freeman, how's your brain? Yeah, I just like saying things like that. Because Ian might be listening. Ian goes and plays pool at a bar on Sundays and listens to the show on his chromed robot turd. And sorry I said the word turd, but that is what we call little mobile computers. We're chromed robot turds. It's kind of funny. And, you know, we were talking during the break about how you can't cuss on radio. And, some people think you're a bad person if you cuss. I'm not going to cuss on radio. We won't even cuss during the breaks because of the Carell rule, which is based on the guy Carell, who has a show, who cussed on the air on the break because he thought he wasn't going out live and was going out live and lost a bunch of stations. But we were just talking on the break about how, it's so weird that you can't cuss on the radio, even in passing, in America, because you can in England on state-run media. You can say the full-on, like all the, I'm not even going to say, the letter that the words begin with, but you can say those words on the BBC, but you could not criticize the government the way you could here in America. So it's kind of like you kind of have more freedom here, but you have this one weird thing. It's kind of like as if there was a random rule of like you have to wear an orange shirt on the radio. You know, that's how I feel about not cussing on
the
radio.
It's like the whole planet is a Venn diagram of freedoms, and they sort of overlap in places, but nothing covers everywhere.
Yeah, and if you don't know what a Venn diagram is, it's where you have like intersecting circles of like, you can do this, but you can't do this. And where they intersect is where you can do both of the things or all three of the things. And Ben blames the Puritans. So do a little side trip on the Puritans, and then we'll go back to the Vikings, who are kind of the opposite of the Puritans.
That's a fight I would like to see, actually.
Vikings versus Puritans. Well, I don't know, because the Puritans had, at least in the cartoons, they have blunderbusses, and the Vikings only had, edged weapons.
Hey, you know what? A couple of midnight raids, and the Vikings would have all the same technology that the Puritans had.
There you go. My Morningstar can beat your blunderbuss. All right, go ahead, Ben.
Well, plus the blunderbuss was only a single shot weapon.
Yeah,
so.
Whereas a Morningstar is an assault truncheon. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that'd be a fun thing, though, because the Puritans would be like, I'll not fight you. You're not dressed properly. No. Yeah. The Puritans had all kinds of crazy arbitrary rules to try to live by. And they were extremely oppressive. They loved slavery. The Puritans were extremely pro-slavery. And one of the most famous Puritan ministers, who was also a very well-respected author, wrote a whole treatise explaining why slaves should be good and be happy in their place in society and continue to be good slaves.
Man, that is so square. And that's kind of how, like, Obama is today, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, like, and because we're all the slaves now. All of us are, you know, everybody who pays taxes, everybody who obeys the cop who comes up to you and gives you ridiculous orders. All of us are slaves when we do this stuff. So, yeah, we're as Obama's as pro-slavery as the Puritans were back in the day.
Yeah, and there's probably some American presidents who have claimed direct lineage to the Puritans. Can you think of any offhand?
I can't think of any actually, but I know around the time that the Democratic Party was being birthed and the whole Lincoln thing was taking place, there was
the Republican Party or the Democrat Party?
Oh, I'm sorry. No, yeah, the Republican Party. Did I say Democrat?
Yeah, well, it's hard to tell the difference.
Sometimes. Yeah, it is. Yeah, one fist or the other. Yeah, the Republican Party. There was a lot of imagery and there was a lot of lies about the Puritans to make them sound good. And linking it to the Republican Party and trying to make some kind of a connection between, you know, the good and pure Puritans of days gone by and this new Republican Party that was coming up.
That's probably why you can't cuss on radio.
Yeah, actually, it probably is. The Puritan power structure converted really nicely into the later progressives, which were initially Republicans. You know, guys like Teddy Roosevelt and stuff like that, that really brought the progressive agenda onto the plate. Those guys were all coming from a Puritan theological background, even though Teddy Roosevelt wasn't necessarily a Puritan.
an unprincipled pro-Puritan background.
Yeah, yeah. So we get a lot of those, you know, like the prohibition of alcohol and you know, the whole mess that came with it. We can blame every bit of that on the Puritans.
Yeah. So Vikings, what about them?
They were not Puritans.
Were they pagans?
They, generally speaking, the religion that they were was based on a lot of pagan stuff is essentially the powers of nature. And the Vikings were very flexible. They believed in things like Odin and a very almost Greek-like structure of gods.
Whereas the Puritans believed in Onan,
yeah,
not Odin.
Yeah. But the Vikings also allowed a lot of pagan stuff in because they live very close to nature, and people who live really close to nature have a tendency to see power in nature. So it was kind of an odd blend, more so than most of Europe, I think.
Pagan is one of those terms like anarchist that used to have a good meaning, and the people who were worried about it turned it into a dirty word. Pagan. Yeah.
Very much so.
I don't know. There's still pagans around. I feel like they're all pretty good people, the ones that I've met.
Yeah, same with anarchists. You know,
that's true too.
Welcome to the Freedom Fiends, the pro-pagan, pro-anarchist platform radio show. you think we'd get on more stations if I called up and started with that?
I don't know. It's a pretty small constituency.
It's pretty cool where those two Venn diagrams overlap with talk radio criteria. Yeah.
Speaking of which, how are we harming our listener base when people are coming home from church, just turning on the radio randomly, and here's these people talking about how horrible the Puritans were and how great the pagans were?
Well, you're a Christian, aren't you, Ben?
I am. I'm a Quaker.
There you go. All right, so tell us.
And a minister. I am an ordained minister.
But so, you're not one of these Christians that would have murdered the Vikings for peacefully trying to occupy unoccupied land, right?
No, you know, actually, oddly enough, I actually believe the teachings of Jesus, unlike most Christians, where he says things like, treat other people the way you'd like to be treated.
Them's fighting words, Ben.
Yeah, I'm not a pastor. But I certainly believe that you should not start aggression upon anyone who's not threatening you.
And you're a bad Quaker because you carry a gun, right?
I am pro self-defense, and I'm not a socialist. I'm very against any form of forced socialism. On the other hand, I could tolerate socialists if there was a community of socialists that lived nearby, as long as they don't try to.
If it was self-contained, yeah. Actually, Ron Paul said that recently. It's kind of interesting.
Yeah. I saw that. Yeah. As long as they don't try to force me to pay for their lifestyle,
I'm perfectly fine. I would be more concerned about, you know, the Republicans and Democrats on my city council that can steal my property than I would be about a hippie commune in the neighborhood that, you know, keeps to itself and doesn't want me to pay for it and doesn't want to oppress me.
Yeah. I'd prefer having them as neighbors than a senator.
Yeah, I think people should be more concerned and worried about their city council than about who's in the White House, because the city council is probably more likely to directly take something from you, and they have more power to do it more easily and quicker than whoever's in the White House. I'm not saying I've ever liked anyone in the White House, but you two, this is kind of interesting, you two, Davi and Ben, are of the 13 Freedom Fiends co-hosts, you're the two that are really big fans of bladed and edged weapons, to the point where, like, Davi's not a gun guy, and Ben is a gun guy who says, you know, in most situations, if I had to only have one weapon on me, it would be a knife. So why don't you guys talk about edged and bladed weapons for a while? Well, and how it relates to Vikings and to yourselves.
You don't have to reload them.
Yes, and they don't shoot through walls and hit innocent people.
And they're silent.
I also think that the personalization of violence, even defensive violence, is a mitigating factor on the level of violence. Like, I feel like the further you are away from the victim, the easier it is to kill more people. And this is why drones kill way more people than swords, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think a lot of people, a lot of inner city violence is due to the dehumanizing effect of a gun. It's like, you know, it's like pointing a flashlight at somebody to a lot of people. Whereas having to defend yourself or, you know, commit harm with a bladed weapon is extremely personal and requires skill, and it's messy.
And it's also kind of terrifying. If you were to defend your home and come at the person with a sword, they don't have a good concept of the level of damage you're capable of inflicting, and it's
They might even laugh if you came at him with a sword until you cut them in half.
I would not
yeah.
laugh.
Yeah. Until you cleave them in twain.
Because, you know, very few people have ever severed limbs with a pistol.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know. It strikes me as a scarier weapon in close quarters.
Here's the thing about gun handling as opposed to knife handling, too. A person can be bad at gun handling and not follow the basic rules and hurt somebody else. But the average person who's holding a knife or any kind of blade and they don't follow the basic rules
of
knife safety, they're
only going to hurt themselves, probably.
Yeah, they're going to lose a finger and probably learn a lesson from losing that finger rather than shooting themselves in the groin or some crazy thing.
Yeah,
as a cautionary tale to others for the rest of their life.
I'm kind of afraid of knives. Like, you know, I own some, but I don't carry them because I'm not terribly well trained with them. And I always carry a gun, and I'm very well trained with them and very safe with them. But, yeah, man, you freaky people with your knives.
They're also, they're a multifaceted tool. Like, there's a lot of things that you couldn't do with a gun.
Yeah, you can't
that
open,
you can do. You can't cut your steak with a
pistol. You can't open a box with a shotgun. Well, you could, but it might damage
the contents.
And
unlike what you see in Hollywood movies, you should never use a gun as a hammer. But many knives are made so that you can use them as a hammer.
I use a knife as a hammer occasionally because it's nice. It's a good weight.
Yeah.
Yeah. I used to use them to stun fish when I was fishing. I'd catch a fish and then take my knife and, like, just kind of hit them on the gills, like hold the blade and hit them on the gills with the handle to stun them before I cut them open.
You know, the other thing, and this is if you're ever in a self-defense scenario and you don't want to escalate to the level of lethal force, like say you're in a bar fight or something like that, just like putting your buck knife in your hand and adding that extra weight and strength to your fist is almost like wearing brass knuckles.
Oh, like an unopened knife?
Yeah, an unopened knife just in your fist.
Yeah, that's one of the things I like about Wyoming is a lot of people carry knives here, and it's no thing. It's like they have a cell phone on one hip and a knife in a holster on the other hip. You know, and they're knives that would be illegal in California or New York to carry like that.
Blade.
I have no idea what laws
there are. Laws? There are laws?
I just...
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
Looking for a new home with good neighbors, no income tax, an active shooting culture with excellent Second Amendment protections, a great business climate, and less government? Then Wyoming might just be the place for you. And freedom-minded folks are already there. Founded by author Kenneth Royce, FreeStateWyoming.org encourages free trade, political liberty, and voluntary cooperation. Come bask in the laissez-faire Western culture of the cowboy state. For details, visit FreeStateWyoming.org.
Welcome to Freedom Fiends, the live game show within a show. The game show is called Viking versus Pilgrim, and the next contestant up is Mr. Ben Stone, the Bad Quaker. So, Viking versus Pilgrim.
You know, I have to say, though, Michael, before we get into that, the Freedom Fiends have the coolest intro and exit music of anybody on radio.
Thank you.
Hands down.
Glad you noticed. Yeah, I made all of it and worked really hard on not just making it, but picking the right parts of it and putting it all together. Yeah, it is pretty cool, man. And it's,
you know, I don't think
it's no copyright problem, too, because I own it. I built that.
I think the Bad Quaker intro music is pretty good, too. The thing about both of these shows is that I have unique accompaniments in my own head to the music. Like, I don't get the music itself stuck in my head. I get, like, my own version of the music. Like, I'm playing along in my head.
You're playing the home version of the game. Yeah. Yeah.
So, and speaking of getting music stuck in your head, Davi... I don't know what you're talking about. That's a reference to the Shiny Badges commercials that are so addictive.
Yeah, I really like the update on that. Has Free Talk Live updated it yet?
Yep, all the LRN feeds and everything.
Good, because, yeah, it was kind of weird when we had the one where you were making fun of your own ad, and they were still playing the ad you were making fun of for about a week.
Yeah.
Yep.
I just had to put together the money to buy a month of advertising on Free Talk Live. And then
Free Talk Live. That's freetalklive.com. Our sister show.
Our show prep generator.
Yeah, we're the retarded little brother of Free Talk Live.
Challenged. We're the challenged little brother.
Thank you. Yeah, and it's gifted. Good to correct
Don't
that
they use the word gifted now?
Gifted. No. Yeah.
I think it's, yeah.
Differently enabled, is that the
there
word?
There you go. That's it. We are definitely differently enabled.
Politicians are differently abled. Yeah.
Yeah, so are thieves.
Indigo. Kids, I think, is what it is now.
Indigo Kids is a different phenomenon. I think it's a pretty cool idea. It's kind of a religious phenomenon. It's people that believe that their children are some kind of like reincarnation of higher beings or something like that.
And that's not cool. That's ridiculous. That's people thinking that their kids don't apply to the rules of society.
I like it. It's like people living in a sci-fi novel.
There you go. Okay. Not that the rules of society are necessarily good. But,
no, it's that they believe that their children are these like exceptional beings who've come to teach them instead of the other way around.
Wow. Yeah, and I think it involves a complete lack of any discipline, doesn't it? Just, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, Billy, could you not burn the house down right now? But I understand your special, wonderful gifts.
Yeah. Well, they would bury that story. if an indigo kid set a house on fire, they would pretend it never happened.
The indigo industrial complex would suppress that. Yeah. All right. So I'm going to go let my cat in while Ben talks about Vikings versus Puritans.
Vikings versus Puritans. So in this ultimate cage match, we would have this Puritan who had all kinds of silly arbitrary rules that he made up to live by and a blunderbutt.
Well, he has the home team advantage because he's at home in a cage.
Well, that's true. That's true. Whereas the Viking has to actually work to get there. And once he gets there, he just goes running at the guy, you know, haphazardly with. And, you know, the blunderbuss often was like a big, dumb shotgun that just spread out, you know, nails and rocks and chunks of glass at your enemy. So oftentimes it didn't kill. It just really hurt bad. And, you know, that kind of thing to do to a Viking would probably not be a good idea. To hurt him and not kill him is probably a bad idea to do in this theoretical situation.
I don't know of the historical accuracy of it, but I have heard that the berserkers were the result of a sort of paste made from a psychedelic mushroom, and that was why they sort of ran into battle almost invincible. And if that were the case, they might run right through shrapnel.
and relished it. Yeah. This was the time that we raided Portsmouth. This is the time that we raided Manchester. This is my scar up here. See where this... No, I almost broke our radio rule. Wow, I'm glad Michael didn't hear that. But so I don't think the Puritans would have much of a chance.
And we'll be back in hour two with Stephen King versus Vikings. You like that?
Yeah,
cool.
Barack Obama is a socialist, and his feet stink. We have to say that once an hour.
Yeah. We have musical proof of that, too.
We have musical proof
achievement
of that, too.
Unlocked.
Yeah, just go to YouTube and search Obama's Feet Stink, and you'll see our hip-hop rap musical group.
I don't believe you. I'm going to do this right now.
Yeah, and also search A Gun for Everyone Except the Government while you're Yahooing stuff by former Freedom Fiends founder, co-founder Nima Vedati and myself and Ben Stone.
We gotta talk about Santa.
Ben Stone plays Santa in the Gun for Everyone video. We gotta talk about Santa. So Vikings versus Santa versus Puritans on the Freedom Fiends next.
Hi, this is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends radio show. The internet has lowered the cost barrier for a worldwide radio show to a price approaching zero. Yet there is one arena where you still need thousands of dollars to approach the audio quality of the corporate media. Doing a live spoken show with more than one host in different geographic locations. Our program, Fiend Phone, will solve that problem, and it will be given away free. Go to fiendphone.com to see what you can do to help. That's FEENPHONE.com.
Are you a political activist who does things that the government might not like? Then this free ebook may save your life. Rats is your guide to protecting yourself against snitches, informers, informants, agents provocateur, narcs, finks, and similar vermin. Rats was written by OG libertarian Claire Wolf. Rats is a short book, easy to read, and available free in many formats. Download Rats free at rats-nosnitch.com. That's rats-nosnitch.com.
Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out CreamyRadioAudio.com. That's CreamyRadioAudio.com.
Brains.
Worms.
Brains.
Worms.
I've told you guys my San Francisco zombie story, right?
I don't think so.
I was about 20 years ago, this girl, my girlfriend of mine at the time, she and I went as zombies on Halloween. And got, you know, I got an old suit. She got an old kind of like wedding dress. And we kind of like threw baby powder on them so it looked like gray grave dust. And, you know, she did our makeup with, I think, blue lipstick and just kind of made us look like the undead. And we're walking around with our arms out in this big crowd of people going, brains, brains. And these two gay guys walked by and said, "Oh, look, it's two blondes looking for brains." Trying to find brains. Yeah. It's a good blonde joke, man. It's pretty. I looked at it. I was like, that's solid. All right.
And that was even before zombies were hip and happening.
Yeah. You know, I actually have some bullets that are called zombie defense bullets. That's the packaging on them.
What makes them zombie defense bullets?
I don't know. They're just hollow points. I think they have like rubber tips in the hollow points. I don't know. I'll go get them. You guys talk about zombies and I'll be right back.
Yeah. So like actually we were talking about Santa Claus.
Yeah, we should pay off the Santa Claus tease.
yeah, let's do that. So Santa Claus, essentially, the most of the parts of the Santa Claus myth that we know today are of Scandinavian origin.
But or Coca-Cola origin.
All right.
Yeah.
I found them. They are made by Hornady. They are 40 cal. They are called Zombie Max bullets, just in case. It says 20 rounds, certified zombie ammunition, and a big
cart. Certified.
a big cart from the American Zombie Certification Ammo Board.
So they've been tested on
the undead. And, you know, it's got a painting of a zombie on it, and the word Zombie Max is in, you know, kind of horror cartoon dripping lettering. And then it has this thing that I think is... I'm generally not that into warnings on products, but I kind of think this one needs this one. Warning, this is live ammunition. This is not a toy. Yep, and...
I have some silver bullets that have a warning on them that say, warning, this is not live ammunition.
Really? I think that should live next to this on the same shelf somewhere.
Because they're just an ounce of silver. They're not meant to be fired. It's sort of a novelty.
This really is a ridiculous... marketing ploy. Yeah, on the back it's of the back of this box of bullets. Oh, and I tried them the other day and one of them jammed. Like, yeah, they worked, but like one out of 11 or, you know, one out of 15 of them jammed my gun. It was pretty easy to clear, but I blame the ammo because it's a Glock that almost never jams. I
think, and they're called Zombie Max.
Yeah, and let's see, Zombie 101. It says on the back, "Creepy arms. They will try to distract you by waving their arms all over. Stay focused."
Hey, you know, swords don't jam either. Just for the record.
Yeah, there you go. Knives don't jam.
And you know, it sounds to me like if they're using the phrase Zombie Max, they're probably playing off of the zombie guide by Max
Max Brooks. Yeah,
Max Brooks, yeah, the son of Mel Brooks.
Or Dobby's,
you know, that's
book,
interesting.
Survivor,
yeah,
Max.
Survivor Max is Max, although I didn't name it after Max Brooks, but yeah, Survivor Max and the Max Brooks Survivor Guide. I bet I get some Google traffic out of that.
Yeah.
That's pretty smart one way or the other.
It's total but accident.
And I mentioned during the break that that's the book that I carried. Rather than carrying a Bible at this themed Day of the Dead wedding, I carried a zombie survival guide. And it's even in the wedding photos.
That's pretty cool. So did they like put their hand on the survivor guide and like swear? I guess that's for a trial. If you're ever doing a zombie trial, maybe you'll do that.
Yeah, you have to do that with a zombie to make sure that they'll...
I would never need them. What? They said the day could never get so dark. And I said, never say never.
Okay, this is probably another example of Davi's axiom of visual comedy doesn't work on radio. But I'm watching the ad for Hornady Zombie Max ammo. But I'm going to send you guys this so we can look at it and talk about it. It's pretty amazing. Yeah.
Cool. I mean, I kind of got the gist of it. I felt a little like the show was hijacked for a second.
I'll play the rest of it. It's, you know, another minute or less. This guy's shooting zombies, and this is an ad for zombie bullets. This is just silly. There's got to be a tagline at the end, but I don't find it. Yeah. Zombie bullets, man. It's what all the kids are using to shoot zombies.
And you know a lot of people, if there was a zombie outbreak, there wouldn't be time to film a commercial.
There also wouldn't be time to pick the zombie specific bullets that jammed for me. I think isn't it classically a shotgun is what you use to stop a zombie, because you have to do the most physical damage, not just kill them?
But it's a headshot.
Yeah, it has to be a headshot. Yeah, you have to break that nervous thing that's in the brain that's making it animate the rest of the dead body.
Okay, so zombies versus Santa. Let's talk about that.
Wow.
Well, how would that cage elf. Match?
Oh, is true. It? Yeah, yeah. So he's already an eternal, not an eternal being. He can be killed, but he's pretty.
Is
tough.
He susceptible to the zombie virus, though?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Or does he just like put his finger on the side of his nose and magically wish it away?
I don't know if we would want to have zombies that were elves in their previous life.
Or zombies that could see you when you're sleeping and know when you're awake.
Ooh, that would be bad.
Isn't that the NSA?
Yeah.
Isn't that,
yeah,
that
I think so.
Isn't it that company that was looking at my website? What were they called?
The CIA illusion or whatever?
What was it? Psy something.
Cessaline?
Cyber hacker.
Valence.
Psy Valence. Aren't they zombies who see you when you're sleeping and know when you're awake?
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Or allegedly. Yeah.
In the zombie Max theory there, the more intensely statist the person was before becoming a zombie, the more dangerous they are as a zombie. And so therefore elves who were pro-government elves before being taken over would be the CIA now.
Yeah.
So, Ben, why should Christians not celebrate Christmas with the Santa stuff?
Essentially, first off, you know, as a Quaker, I think everybody should just do whatever they feel pushed to do. But as a Quaker, I don't recognize one day over the other. And to pick out one magic day that we definitely know was not the day that Jesus was born, and then wrap it all around a bunch of ceremonies that are involving Norse gods and pagan ceremonies and Middle Eastern mythology based on Middle Eastern, multiple god systems that existed 500 BC and stuff like that. It just doesn't seem Christian appropriate to me to do any of those things. And that's not even considering that in the Bible it specifically denigrates people who go and get a tree and cut it down and then decorate it with gold and silver and dance around it and do all these silly rituals.
What part of the Bible?
I can't remember the exact scripture. Yeah.
You don't think that there was a big trend of cutting down pine trees in Palestine in the first century and bringing
and actually within the worship of Baal or Baal
worship.
I miss worship.
There's four words that Ben pronounces strangely all the time, and I've gotten on him about it. But I came to find out that a lot of them are regional Ohioisms. So go on.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, that was an actual part of Baal or Baal worship. You would have to have a circle of evergreen trees. Often they would be cedar, and you would have your idol in the middle of those. And there was all kinds of rituals that would take place. And the idea of having evergreen trees was so that the leaves wouldn't fall, so that you could do your private rituals in there, and nobody could see from the outside, making them even more mysterious. And that was one of the reasons that particular religious people would, they would hang things on these evergreen trees. And, you know, up in Nordic areas and so forth, they idolized the evergreen trees for a totally different reason. But these washed into the Christian religion for some odd reason, and that being that people were willing to compromise their Christian religion in order to, you know, win over a pagan or some person who believed in some other religion. They were willing to, well, we'll let you have your celebrations if you just add Jesus to it and put this crucifix here. And, you know,
that's been really common throughout history with most religions and a lot of state functions, taking the recognized things people are comfortable with after you conquer them, take those same things and to keep those people comfortable with the new thing you're foisting on them, kind of wrapping it around it. You know, Haitian voodoo would be an example too.
Yeah,
well,
actually,
that's where mistletoe comes from too.
Yeah, from where?
In the Norse mythology, mistletoe was the only thing in creation that did not swear an oath not to harm Balder, who is Thor's younger brother. And it was because it wasn't blooming in the summertime when the oath was taken. So when mistletoe blooms in the winter, that's when you know that Balder has died and will be resurrected come the spring.
Oh my.
And so the death and resurrection of Jesus was associated with the death and resurrection of Balder. And so they used mistletoe sort of to hang their crucifixes when the pagans were taken over by the Christians. And that became, instead of hanging the cross on your wall, you'd hang the mistletoe on your wall. Yeah, and
so many freaky things that people do, not just around Christmas, but in general, that that people defend almost to the death, that really they don't even know why they do them. Like, you know, a lot of Christians complain about the so-called war on Christmas that, you know, a lot of people have, of removing the word Christmas and changing it to holidays and things like that. But most of the things associated with Christmas, as you guys are saying, have nothing to do with Christ.
It's the war on Yule. That's what it is.
Yeah, it's the war on the commercial marketing of a bunch of pagan rituals that were adopted by Christians.
So stand under your mistletoe and pucker up to that, baby.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Shiny badges on your jacket. Shiny badges. Yeah!
This is Davi Barker from shinybadges.com, and I just want to personally apologize for airing a jingle week after week, month after month, that turned out to be such an infectious brain worm. So to make it up to you, I'm offering a free gift. The next time you make a purchase at shinybadges.com, write worms in the transaction comments, and I'll send you something weird.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many Liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
Broadcasting live worldwide from Windows zombie-proof bunker. And the topic is, I think, Santa versus the Nazi zombies. Who would win? So we're looking at the Hornady ammunition site for the Zombie Max ammunition. I have a box of this. My wife bought it because she thought it looked cute and had it on her dresser. She's never fired it. I fired some the other day, and they jammed my Glock. It's never jammed before. You know, probably put 10,000 rounds through it. So,
Davi, and now you're a zombie.
Now I'm a zombie. Davi, will you please read the... what did you say about utilitarian things?
You shouldn't buy novelties for utilitarian reasons, because when people are spending their marketing budget on novelty, you know, packaging and novelty, whatever, that means they're not spending that time and resources on the quality of the product. And so economically speaking, they can be just as profitable without being as quality if they're a novelty.
And I must say, I don't remember the exact price, but I must say that this box of 20 rounds of 40 cal 165 grain hollow point ammunition cost, I think it was about 10 or 20% more than a comparable like Smith & Wesson of the same caliber and type would cost. So,
okay. I mean, this isn't true for all products everywhere, but that's just sort of what the trends would be economically, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Davi,
if you go to the hardware store and you see hammers that have a flower print on them and they're advertising to women, that's not a quality hammer.
Or hammers that have like the guy from Home Improvement in a big cardboard cutout holding them up.
Yeah, not a quality hammer.
Yeah, that's not where the pros. That's not what the pros would buy. So, please read this disclaimer, Zombie.
Yeah.
I mean, Davi.
So, Zombie Max Ammunition is not a toy, but is intended only to be used on zombies, also known as the living dead, undead, etc. No human being, plant, animal, vegetable, or mineral should ever be shot with Zombie Max Ammunition. Again, we repeat, Zombie Max Ammunition is for use on zombies only, and that's not a nickname, phrase, or cute way of referring to anybody, place, or thing. When we say zombies, we mean zombies.
That's ridiculous. It's
That's why, I mean,
you kind of got to say that, because a lot of people reading this probably do use zombies as a nickname for people. So,
well, it's actually used as a nickname on gun blogs for, you know, drugged out creatures of the night that try to break into your house that you would need to possibly shoot.
Yeah, it's anybody who'd be pounding on your door in a collapse scenario. That's what it is.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, but I did shoot a plant with these. I shot a tree stump.
Well, you broke the social contract, Michael.
That's why they jammed. By buying these. That's why they jammed. They're intelligent zombie bullets. They knew what I was doing. They have a little camera in them, and when they're sitting there waiting to fire out of your gun, somebody at the Hornady World Headquarters looks at what you're doing, and if it's not what it's supposed to be, they jam the next one.
Yeah.
Sounds like an idea for gun control.
Yeah, it was pretty easy to clear. And if anybody wants to know things about clearing gun jams in an emergency situation when zombies are coming, well, anytime, watch the video, Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle. That's Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, which I produced with Jared Waltz. And he is a great firearms instructor. There's a lot in there about basic and intermediate gun use for handgun and rifle, for sidearm and rifle with the Non-Aggression Principle. And you can order that on Amazon, or you can watch it all free on the YouTubes. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle. So back to zombies versus Nazi zombies. So I see they have 7.62x39 zombie ammo. The thing is, they all have green tips. I guess the green stops the zombies or something. So to go after the Nazis, right, the Nazi zombies, you'd need the 7.62x39 for your AK-47. Although I'm having a problem. I mean, if we're going to accept the fact that there are zombies, I'm still having a problem with the 7.62x39 from the AK-47 being used on the Nazi zombies, because that gun came out 2 years after the Nazis were defeated. That rifle did. So
yeah, but the zombie Nazis are undead. They may still be up and walking around for all we know.
I don't know that much about it as you do. Tell us about zombies.
There's this movie called Dead Snow, or maybe it's Red Snow. I don't remember. I think there's a video game by that name too. But in it, there's like a Nazi army that freezes to death on its way into Moscow, and they come back as zombies. And so most zombies are vulnerable to snow, but not Nazi zombies. See, that's what I'm getting at. So if Santa Claus was to fight an army of zombies, it would have to be the Nazi zombies.
Or else he would just defeat them because they'd freeze at the North Pole.
Exactly.
And Barack,
now that's clear.
Yeah, Barack Obama is a socialist, a liar, and his feet stink. And we'll be back with more.
And he would side with the Nazi zombies.
You think the Secret Service have Hornady zombie Max ammo?
No, they just use the regular stuff because they want to shoot people.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
Hey, there's some Squiscar Squig Elves from Death Clocks. And you are listening to the Freedoms Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess it says worms now. So there you go.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get State Speech is Hate Speech, Guns and Weed, Buy Sheep for Sheep on Jeep, and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists. It's only $10 for 5 buttons, including shipping. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Yeah. Okay. So, this is Michael Dean, Freedom Fiends. FreedomFiends.com is back up. You can see it. Should be back up. Turns out it was an inordinate amount of traffic over and over and over coming from about five or six IP addresses. I will now read those IP addresses.
All from five or six?
I will condemn them on air. You know who you are, 162.244.13.8. Yes, and I would like to also condemn 162.24.12.156 and 162.244.13.24. And darn you to heck, 162.24.13.10. And finally, I hate 162.244.10.124. Those people are all nasty, mean spammer bots, possibly from the government. We don't know. But rules have been put in place, and if they switch to other IP addresses and do the same thing, they will be blocked also.
They have been wiped and cleansed from the golden floppy disk of redemption.
They will never. They are on the golden floppy disk of condemnation. Yeah, they've been moved over there,
doomed for eternity to be slaves of the state.
Yep, I think they used some zombie ammo on. I don't want to say that. Someone will say it's a threat, even though these are numbers of a computer somewhere. So yeah, hey. The zombie and zombie is a term for computers that have been taken over with malware or spyware by other computers to operate and do bad things. Those are possibly what these are, because they're not government. They're not government agency IP addresses like that other one I was having the issue with. But it could be they just rent some server space somewhere to hammer you. Who knows?
It's a cooler term than slave. They used to call those hijacked computers slaves.
Yeah,
and I think that people wanted to sort of change up the rhetoric a little bit.
Yep.
I have a story that connects my recent wedding that I did with zombies and with several other things that have been talked about lately. I was the first themed wedding that I did was a zombie themed wedding, and we were out in the sun, and right in the middle of this wedding, everybody's just really burning up in the sun, and I was wanting to wrap it up as quick as possible. And there's this vapor trail going over us from an airplane. And I said, well, we need to wrap this up now because there's a chemtrail over us and I want to get out of here before I start getting headaches again. And it was a reference to the zombie theory that the zombie disease is spread by chemtrails. And it was just a joke, you know. But we had a chemtrail adherent there who believed that very thoroughly. And I spent the whole rest of the reception trying to dodge that person as they preached to me about chemtrails. So that's my...
Well, you know, in the original I Am Legend, it was cloud sort of billowing in the air, and it was sort of an airborne toxin. But it wasn't chemtrails. It was coming out of a factory or something.
Ah. There's one of the stories that it's sprayed by, like, the U.S. to get the Russians or the Russians to get the U.S. or something like that.
Chemtrails or zombies?
The chemtrails are used to create zombies to attack the other side of the Cold War. But...
Interesting.
But this brings up the chemtrail thing that we were talking about during the break, that here's a good company model that I thought of. If you could – I haven't yet seen any real proof of chemtrails. But that aside from the argument and not asking to get 10 million people emailing me with hate, but we should create a chemtrail – certification website where people can send us some kind of a fuzzy photograph, and it has to be a physical photograph.
And it has to have a red circle.
And it, yeah, they have to use a red pen, a red felt pen, and circle it with an arrow.
And it has
so
to
that
be
we can,
a blurry photo.
It must be blurry.
And especially and they, if it's just black and white and blurry with a red circle on it.
And they black have and white photos of clouds. That's what we need.
And they need to physically mail us this picture.
I don't care if people think that, if we bash chemtrail believers on here, and I know they're religious about it and they will stalk you like zombies, but here's the thing. I don't argue with anybody that the government would do that. What right. Ben and I argue, and Davi maybe also argue, I'd have to ask him, is that the proof they have doesn't seem like proof to me. And proof is an absolute word. Proof is a very abused word. It means absolutely scientifically replicatable and undeniable. And just because someone's crazy and has a hamster in their brain and thinks something is undeniable does not make it so.
Right.
Davi?
I agree. I mean, you can't prove the chemical composition of something with a photograph. I'm sorry. That's not how it works.
Yeah. I don't argue that the government wants to kill everybody all the time. I'll believe that. And I do believe that various governments have sprayed bad things unwittingly, intentionally on civilian populations at various times throughout history. I don't believe that there's absolute proof that it's going on wide scale every day, all the time. I've actually had people standing next to me, point at a bunch of, jet contrails crisscrossing each other and say, that's proof that those are chemtrails because jet contrails don't crisscross like that. That's like kindergarten logic, man. And it's wrong.
Yeah. Cause they could be literally 20,000 feet in elevation from each other. And I mean, you know, without going into all the details, it's ridiculous.
Without going into the fact that you used to be an engineer in the aerospace industry.
Yeah. And
well, that just means that his opinion is compromised.
Well, that's what they say. Yeah. Well, you still work for the government, you know? That's
right. Ben Stone still works for the government.
Yeah.
Oh, but in this business model that I was talking about. So they send us a fuzzy picture with some.
So you're
red
saying
ink
this
on
is a business we'd start.
Yeah, yeah, okay. You can make a lot of money doing this.
Hey, there's a demand for it.
Well, didn't you say someone is already certifying chemtrails?
Not that I know of. That
what does this mean? What's our verification process?
Well, here's what they do. They send us the picture, plus they have to send us 1995 for processing. We do the certification.
Oh, 1776, Ben. Come on, know your audience.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, right. No, 1775, but if you really know your audience. But how about 17.76 Bitcoin?
There you go.
No, they don't do Bitcoin. But anyway, so they send you the money and they send this physical photograph and they have to send a handwritten explanation, preferably a manifesto, being at least a full page long, preferably more than 15 pages. And it has to be handwritten and say that why they believe that this picture is a chemtrail. And it has to be witnessed by another person who doesn't witness that they believe what this person wrote, just that they know the person who wrote it, and they're witnessing that that is a real person.
So it has to be notarized by a non-believer.
But yeah, and not a government notarization, just anybody, like a guy on the street or whatever.
Well, the government can't be a non-believer because the government's behind it.
Yeah, exactly. That's how it's certified. And so then the other thing that they have to provide is a picture ID of both the notary person and the claimant, and they can make those themselves. We don't want any government IDs.
Do they have to be holding a fish on their head?
They could, but we can make sure that...
If the ID is homemade, does it need to be notarized by someone who doesn't believe that that's a photograph of them?
They can notarize each other's, and that would make them legit. And if they'll send us that, then we could actually send them what's the shiny plastic covering over a piece of paper?
Laminate.
Yeah, we could actually laminate. Photograph? No, we could laminate them official certificate that says that this, and we'll send the picture back to them also. Of course, there's a shipping charge and handling both directions. but we would send them a laminated, frameable certification that this picture is indeed certified by the Chemtrail Certification Company of America to be an actual chemtrail. And then, of course, there's a disclaimer on the bottom that says that anyone who disagrees with this can apply to have a notation that says that they disagree.
Or they have to pay a private arbitration fee to dispute us on it, and the arbitrator would be at our choice.
Exactly. And we'd have that in the fine print.
Yes, of course.
Yeah.
And there would be an arbitration fee.
I think a side business we could offer too is certifying ammunition as for zombies.
Okay. And we'd just put a sticker on the box?
On each bullet. We'd put a unique sticker on each bullet. Not unique. We don't want unique. We do not want unique bullets. Yeah, that's another thing too. Like, you know, if you ever had to actually use a zombie bullet in a self-defense thing and, you know, had to run or something, they'd probably be pretty easy to trace because it's a very unique bullet. It's got a green core in it. I could just picture on CSI someone holding up a slug and saying, "This is a Hornady zombie bullet, 128 grain, 40 caliber." And then they look up whoever's bought the zombie bullets in that area.
You know what confuses me more than anything about the chemtrail thing? So the leading kind of theory is that it's some kind of neurotoxin designed to like make people dumber and easier to control. But if you're just putting it in the air, it's going to affect everybody, which means it affects
including
the government and including the chemtrail conspiracy theorists themselves. So they are themselves testimony to the ineffectiveness of this neurotoxin.
Well, maybe the government people, you know, the New World Order types,
they have
the vaccine.
That's what they say about fluoride, because you can buy bottled water rich in elites buy bottled water.
Rich
or in Berkey water filters.
In elites.
Oh.
Berkey water filters are good, and they're one of the advertisers.
That's what I'm saying. They protect you from fluoride.
Ah, okay. Yeah. And fluoride, and that protects your precious bodily fluids.
But that's seriously, a reference to a movie. If you were just pumping a neurotoxin into the air, it would affect everybody.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of them believe, though, that it's climate control attempts, that it's, you know, that it's honest attempts by people who believe in global warming or whatever, and that it's just, you know, taken.
That's more interesting.
Yeah, that it's the damage
just move is the accidental. Goalpost. I like it.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. A moving target's hard to hit.
Yeah. So Santa.
Yeah, Santa's.
I think Santa would be devastated by global warming.
I think he'd also be devastated by chemtrail. Although maybe he's spraying chemtrails from his sleigh.
Hey, absolutely. You know, maybe it is the chemtrail left by Santa's sleigh, because there's all this stuff about how fast he would have to be moving in order to cover so many houses in one night. And so, you know, maybe he has to burn some sort of special fuel that leaves a different sort of contrail than regular jets.
Made of magnetic aluminum. That's part right. of it also.
Exactly.
Yes.
He has to burn zombies for fuel, and they leave strange toxins in the air.
It's now available for the home version of the game in a tasty aluminum paste. Go to freedomfiends.com because it's up. And click on the link that says tasty aluminum paste over on the right.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
Wake up and smell the freedom. One of the easiest things you can do to help Liberty is to torrent Freedom Fiends episodes to help keep them drone-proof. You can set up your home computer to download and share Freedom Fiends archives over BitTorrent. You can even set up scheduling so it only shares while you're asleep or at work. Put your unused computing power to work and help keep the Freedom Fiends around well into the future. Simply go to freedomfiends.com and click on the Torrent Club link and learn how to torrent and share Freedom Fiends archives. No, wait. Is it Thor or is it Superman? I think Thor is now a gay, Muslim, lesbian, single mother, black.
No, Thor is a lady.
Okay.
And Captain America is her black Muslim transgender.
Okay.
No.
It doesn't. I don't care if Marvel messes with Superman because they invented him, but Thor. Well,
DC
man,
invented Superman okay, for the thank, record. Marvel invented you. Captain thank America.
You. But you can't mess with Thor. Thor is timeless. They didn't build that.
They didn't build
as
that.
You said. Yeah.
Right.
Don't make a comic book mistake with Davi, because it's like saying it or it's with an apostrophe on the internet the wrong way.
You think the chemtrail truth or conspiracy birther types are going to come after you hard. Yeah, try getting it wrong with the comics and see what the comic book nerds do to you. They will wreck you.
But yeah, there is talk of doing a reboot and making Captain America African American, making Ms. Marvel Muslim, and making Thor female.
And, you know, we usually have a kind of hero's journey thing with this show, but today it was kind of more the zombies' journey. It was kind of stumbling around in circles in Conan-centric.
We lost the path.
Parenthetic. We lost the plot in the pregame before we even got on the air, but it's a good thing, and it's been a good show. And, you know, what did you say about zombies and walking and how people don't
realize how much of a zombie's existence is actually just walking. I mean, if you were to watch the movies, you'd think it was all like cannibalism and gunplay. But no, most of their time is spent like walking from one town to another and
walk the earth. I'm going to walk the earth. That's called being a bum. Yeah, it's from Pulp Fiction. Okay, so
it's a pretty pretty boring life, I think, being a zombie.
So what did you say your main debunking, I believe, of the chemtrail conspiracy theory, Davi, is that politicians are not wearing gas masks?
Yeah, exactly. If they're pumping a neurotoxin into the air to make us all dumb sheeple, first off, it doesn't work because they breathe the same air. So until they're wearing gas masks, I'm highly skeptical of this proposition. But second off, if it's a neurotoxin designed to make us all gullible and easy to control, the existence of chemtrail conspiracy theorists is a debunking of that conspiracy theory.
Yeah, that's some deep math there, man. And, you know, I was with my band Bomb. Yeah, I was in a band called Bomb. My band Bomb.
Can you still use that word on the radio?
No, I don't think so. I certainly would not want to travel the world with road cases that have the word bomb stenciled on them these days, like we used to.
Yeah,
back in the 90s, that would. I do like telling the story. The one time we got pulled over in Petaluma, California, coming back from a gig late at night. The cops shined a flashlight in the van and they said, "What's in the big red case marked bomb?" it was my bass head amp, SVT amp, Ampeg amp head. My guitar player later said he was biting his tongue not to say, "Well, officer, we forget where we put it sometimes, so we marked it." But we were in Europe, touring Europe, and we had a couple days off, and we went out into the Alps and drove into the Alps and took a walk in a beautiful field, and it was a really nice day, and we're walking through this field in the Alps in Austria and near Innsbruck, Austria, and we turn this corner on this little country road and we see like seven Austrian military men in full like chemical protective suits and wearing gas masks and holding battle rifles. And they waved at us and we waved at them and they approached us and we started talking to them and they didn't speak a lick of English. And we said, "Should we be worried?" And they just kind of like spoke in German, I think. And none of us understood if we should be worried or not, but it looked kind of worrying to be walking on this beautiful sunny day in the mountain Alps, you know, passing cow pastures and things. And then seeing these six soldiers in chemical spill outfits and gas mask with rifles. Like, what do you know that we don't know?
They were probably just guarding their meth lab.
Yeah, they looked like the Breaking Bad guys. Except the suits were white and not yellow, and they were carrying rifles. Yeah, they probably were just doing some kind of war game, you know, training thing. But it was one of the weirder of many weird scenarios in my life.
They were laying the groundwork for plausible deniability in a false flag attack. That's what they were doing.
In a zombie apocalypse. Well, remember, in Close Encounters of the Third Kind, they evacuate Wyoming, and they say, "Well, a lot of those people up there don't trust the government," and they say, "Well, go shoot some sheep and say there's a nerve gas leak from the Army Depot." Remember that?
Yeah.
Wyoming, man. That's where I live.
Worms. Good talking to you,
worms.
Michael.
Been really good worms. Talking to you guys. And I'm in a better mood. My website's up. The government couldn't take it down. That's not a challenge. They couldn't keep it down. So, there'd be another show tonight. Not tonight. 12 hours with Derek J., and Diana, and they'll be on tomorrow night too.
Worms.
Thank you for your service.
Worms.